Good afternoon. I'm loud enough, right? Wow, I can hear myself. All right, so good afternoon, SIF, and good afternoon, those who are online. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? God has been faithful to us. He's been faithful to us. He's been faithful to you. David said, had it not been the Lord on our side, let Israel say, had it not been the Lord on our side, when men rose up against us, when the world has rose up against us, they will have swallowed us. But thanks be to God who has delivered us and has not given us as a prey to their thief. Thanks be to God that he has delivered us from the snare of the fowler, and the snare is broken. Hallelujah. Think about his faithfulness. Think about his goodness. And we have snow, isn't it? Okay, those from the U.S. are like, okay, Kingsley, what are you talking about? All right, fine. Well, we had snow in Suzhou, isn't it? That is amazing. It shows God's faithfulness to us as well. Oh, but the weather told us, well, they just predicted. It is God that brings the rain. It is God that brings the snow. It is God that brings the sunshine. Give him the glory. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. All right, so we've been working here as a church on a series called The Fruit of the Spirit. Now, I don't want you to be blinded by the topics. You see, the Word of God is living and active, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide bones and marrow, spirit and soul, a discerner of thought and intentions. And so maybe you are here and thinking, well, Fruit of the Spirit again. That's not what I need. Hold it. The Word of God will descend. You receive that breakthrough that you need. You receive that empowerment that you need. Focus on Christ. So just a recap, all right? So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, hold on. I need to own something, isn't it? Give me a moment. It's on. Oops. Yay. All right, so context here matters, because context is important. It positions us. So we've been working through the book of Galatians. And why was this book written in the first place? It was written by Paul. It was written to the church in Galatia because at the time there were some teachers called the Judaizers. And what were they doing? They came into the church and all the Mosaic law, basically. So you have to accept Christ, but you need something else so that God will accept you. So Christ alone is not enough. Just now we sang a song, Christ is enough. But here they are saying, no, Christ alone is not enough. Faith in him alone is not enough. You need to add something else. So Paul wrote a letter as a defense of the gospel of faith. Not another gospel. I put it in an invented comma there. It's not even another gospel, because Paul said, if anyone should preach any other thing apart from what we have preached, let him be accursed. It is a gospel of, so Paul have to write a strong letter to rebuke and to correct. In fact, Nathan and Silas did a great job. God has used them mightily to explain to us, you know, the context of it. And so we got to understand that indeed, it is not Christ plus something that will make me accepted by God. It is Christ alone. Having faith in him alone is what brings God's blessings over our lives. And Silas actually made us to understand that it is the faith in Christ alone. All right? So what they were teaching in the church then was Jesus plus the Mosaic law. But what we know from scriptures is that it is, for by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works. Now works here. Scripture tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who is hanged on a pole on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So that by what? By faith. Do you see that? So that by what? By faith, we might receive the blessing, the promise of the Spirit by faith. And last week, we've talked about love. Silas gave us a very excellent word. And if you want to hear it, obviously, it's on our website as a church. So kindly log on to that, and then you can download the slide. But just a recap of what we were reminded last week, that for the law of the Spirit of life has set us free. From what? Set us free in Christ Jesus. I highlight Christ Jesus so that you know where the freedom is. The freedom is not within you. The freedom is not within anything. It's in the person of Jesus, in Christ Jesus. The freedom is in the person. Hallelujah. Freedom is in Christ. He has set us free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Therefore, we've been called upon to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the desire or the lust of the flesh. And in that, we were challenged to express our love. We should go out expressing our faith through love. And we should humbly serve. Silas reminded us that if they should cut through our blood or body, they should see service all around, serving one another through love. And he reminded us that God, the word of God, is indeed a seed. For a fruit, there must be a seed, isn't it? So the word of God is that seed. And Peter tells us that we are born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. So after all of that, I should say amen, isn't it? All right. Amen. So before we start, let's just come before the Lord. I just want us to come. You know, this is to fellowship with him in his word. It's not a lecture. It's not a class. You know, we want to fellowship in his word. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, God. People do not come, brothers, sisters, do not come here to listen to Kingsley, Lord. They come to hear you speak. They come to hear your word ministering to them, healing, encouraging, empowering them, strengthening them in their walk with you, God. Speak, Father. May I decrease, let Christ increase. Let Christ be seen. Let Jesus be unveiled. I thank you, Father, that you will speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the scripture that we've been working with is Galatians. Galatians. So I believe by now most of you are reading that book. All right? And getting all the nuggets, the germs that are in the Word of God. All right. So just to refresh us again, Galatians 1, 22, I mean, Galatians 5, verse 1, 22 to 26 here says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm continuously. Keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Pause a second. What does that mean? As I was preparing and praying and asking the Lord, I was hit. I was reminded that perhaps some of you have heard, you are too kind. Hello? You are too kind. You are too patient. Who told you that? There is no law against how much patience you can be. How much, okay, maybe wrong English, against how much patience you can have. There is no law against how much you can love. There is no law against how much faithful you can be. There is no law. God said, there is no law. You see, in our postmodern world, they are bringing laws against these things, but these are the very nature of God. Don't be deceived. There is no law to how much kind you can be. There is no law to how much you can love. There is no law to how gentle you can be. There is no law. Why? Because these are the nature of the lawgiver. Hallelujah. This is the nature of the lawgiver. There can be no law against the lawgiver. And so anytime someone tells you that, remind yourself, maybe you don't need to say there's no law, because they will not understand you. Tell yourself, you just say, thank you. I go to your office or wherever, you tell yourself, there is no law. Let nobody place judgment on you that you are too kind. Let nobody place judgment on you that, oh, perhaps you should be tough enough. No, there is no law. This is the nature of God. Why this? Because we are in the image of God, and God is calling us to the very image that he has created us in. This is his image. You cannot be too kind. God is the one that is full of kindness. He is the one that is full of all patience, all goodness, all faithfulness are in him. There is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. Since we live in the spirit, let us keep in step. I love that. Let me give you an example. My daughter is 3 years old. Now she walks a little bit. I'm sure Andy and others who understand that, and others who have younger children. So when Esther is walking, fast. No, walking too slow too. Sometimes I want to go fast, but she's, you know, one step at a time. I have to keep in step. Keep in step with her. Maybe you said, I don't have a child, so I don't quite get it. Well, seek after him and you will understand. Walking in step with him. Walk in step. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, proud, self-righteousness. I am myself, made everything, I too self-centered, provoking and envying each other. But whilst we are talking about faithfulness, I think we need to first talk about who is the faithful one. So why not just sit back and soak in into those areas that we have inherited the healing from the faithful one. You know that song, right? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy, not yours, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, all to me. Think about that. In fact, in Hebrew, emunah or emunah, faithfulness means emunah in Hebrew. So that's why we have emunah, Matthew, isn't it? So he is our emunah. He is our faithfulness. So let's feed on his faithfulness for a while, okay? The Bible says in Lamentations, written by prophet Jeremiah, in time of distress, the nation of Israel was in trouble, were just, you know, all over. But this prophet, in his distress, look at what he said. He said, but these I recall to mind. What do you recall to mind in your time of trouble, in your time of struggle? What do you recall to mind? These I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Hope in Hebrew is tikvah. Tikvah. Therefore, I have tikvah. I have hope. What do you recall to mind? Jeremiah tells us what we should recall to mind. He said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The mercies, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I have hope. So I don't know what stage of life you are in, but I just want to declare that to you. The Lord is your portion. The Lord is your joy. The Lord is your faithfulness. Receive him. Declare that over that. That he is your portion. Therefore, you have tikvah. You have hope. He is your emunah. And we were told in a lot of verses about his faithfulness. The one who calls you is faithful. Maybe you say, Kingsley, my walk, I'm in trouble. But he who called you is faithful. He who called you is faithful, and he will do it. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his son. Never fail me yet. Never fail me yet. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. There is one thing that I know. that he never fails. He never fails. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship, maybe in your marriage, at your workplace, maybe as a father like myself, as a mother, maybe in your school or whatever you are struggling with that. He who has called you into fellowship is faithful. Will you seek after him? Deuteronomy tells us that our God, the Lord God, is a faithful God. He keeps his steadfast love over 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commandments. Now that we know about his faithfulness, what should we do? We should just fold our hands and say, yeah, Lord, you are so faithful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, we should just do that, isn't it? Well, let's tell a story. We have the kids around, right? Let's tell some story, Muna. Esther, let's tell some story, okay? All right, so here is, everyone loves stories, isn't it? So let's talk about a story that is actually a parable in the Bible. A parable is it's not always all the time something that really for real happened, but it's used to illustrate. Jesus always uses that to show the people or to lead them. He uses what they know and lead them with that into what they don't know yet. So this is a parable about a master or a lord or a man who decided to, because of the kids, I will try to paraphrase here. But of course, the verse are there. So apologies if you think that Kingsley is, you know, messing up with the word of God. No. This man decided to go on a trip. And he said, well, I have servants. Let me give them talent. Let me give them gifts. Let me give them something to work on. So he called about three of them, according to the scriptures. You can read it. Then to one, he gave how many? He gave five. To one, say, hey, man. No, he didn't say, hey, man. I'm kidding. He said, you have five, and, you know, I'll be leaving. And you have two, and I'll be leaving. And then you have one, and I'll be leaving. All right? So he gave five. He gave two, and he gave one. Well, you can read that because time, I may not be able to read everything. But he had it to each according to his own ability. Take note of that ability. Now, in the Greek, ability is dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. Dunamis, it means power or influence or might or strength. All right? So the Lord knows your strength. He will not give you beyond what you can bear. His yoke is light. His burden is what? Easy. Right? So he gives them according to their dunamis. All right? To their power. Now, what happened? The one who had five, right? He decided to go and trade with it. Hey, guys. No, he didn't say that, but he went and trade with it. And then he gained five more. The one who had two also went and trade with it and has two more. What happened to the one who had one? Well, this guy, I was thinking when I was reading this, I say, wow. If Jesus is setting this within the Palestine context, then the land there then is very dry, right? See, the amount of time he spent to dig, you could have used that time to do something else. But what did this guy do? He went and dug. He dug the ground. How long does that take? I was thinking, whoa, use that time to also trade or do something else. But he dug the ground. And he did what? He hid the master's money or talent inside it. Well, after a long while, the master is back. Now, let's see what happened. The servant with the five talent did what? He came to the master. He said, Lord, you delivered to me five talent. Wow. The word look there in the Hebrew is to behold. Behold is like, wow, Lord, wow, you gave me five. I have gained five more. It's like a surprise to him that, wow, what you gave me has increased. And the Lord said what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I thought it's five. Why is five considered few? Well, you will get to know that soon. You are faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then the one with two also came. Master, Lord, look, you have given me. Notice the word. Before they even talk about how much they have gained, they said, you have delivered to me. Notice, you have acknowledged a receipt. They are grateful that they have received. You have delivered to me two. And wow, look, behold, I have gained two more. It's like, oh, the gift, what you have blessed me with has multiplied. And the Lord said, same words, the same words. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over fewer. No, the same word. He did not say fewer because you have two. He did not say fewer. He said the same word he used for the five is the same word he's using for the two as well. Keep that in mind, okay? Because we live in a world, well, I am an economist, so we quantify things a lot. So five is greater than two, so he should have said fewer, but he did not do that, okay? He said, you have been faithful over few things. Notice that. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. How about the one with one talent? Well, this guy came and then he also started the sentence by acknowledging his Lord. It's interesting. But see what he said. Lord, I think this is what he posted. He was like that. No, I'm kidding. It's like, Lord, I knew you that actually you are a very hard man. You are a difficult guy. You seems to always reap where you do not sow, and you gather where you have not scattered seed. Really? Well, the seed in your hands, who gave it to you in the first place? If I don't give a seed, what are you talking about? But look at his words. He came with that attitude. Oh, Lord, you are a very hard man. So what did he do? And so I was afraid and went and hid your talent. You see the words, your talent, in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Wow. Ingratitude. But brothers, sisters, what does those words remind you? Afraid and went to hide. Do you know where those words appear for the first time in the Bible? When Adam and Eve disobeyed God. When God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam said, I heard your voice. I was afraid because I was naked, so I went and hide. The same words. Interesting, isn't it? Well, I will leave that to you to explore. That's why I said, let's fellowship in the word of God. Why is he using the same word? I was afraid and I hid. Just as the same Adam said, I was afraid and I hid. Interesting. Think about that. Anyway, so what did the master do? Well, the master said, wow, that's interesting. Well, the master didn't say that. The master said, you wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy. You knew that so I didn't know. I reap where I did not sow. I gather where I have not scattered. You should have deposited my money in the bank at least so that when I come back, I'll get some interest, isn't it? Therefore, the master said, no. Take what he has and give it to the one who has more, who has 10. And the servant with one was thrown. Away. Now, let's glean some nuggets from this on faithfulness. Okay? Let's do that. Here are some truths that I want us to ponder over. Let me slow down a bit. First of all, let's recognize that the Lord is a generous giver. And he has entrusted into our hands talents, positions, resources, skills. I added all those verses, but it was a lot. So I want you to do some homework a bit. So please read those verses to reinforce your understanding of these nuggets. Number two, I want us to understand that what trusted into our hands will multiply. But you are like, by Kingsley, I am just a student. I am just a husband. I don't have anything, no talent. We're talking about your scale, your time, your expertise, your resources. God has given you a resource. It will multiply if you trust him enough and start using it. God will multiply it. He who has entrusted you is faithful. I know I'm going faster here, but the slides and everything will be available. I have to cut down on a lot of things. So if after this you still want the whole thing, by all means, you can reach out me or send you. But anyway, faithfulness implies stewardship. Faithfulness implies stewardship. Implies accountability. Okay? As stewards, we are what? Ambassadors of Christ. We are working in cooperation with the Spirit, with the Master. Now, this is very dear to my heart. All of them are, but this point actually caught me when I was receiving. Well, I have to receive, isn't it? Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I have to receive myself. Receiving of the talent, of the skill, of the expertise precedes the stewardship of it, the use of it. Oftentimes, we are in a busy world, myself, I know. we are experts. There are so many things coming here and there. And I tell you something interesting. When I was preparing, an email came from my school that when I look at that email, it's going to mean that a lot of work for me. It's about the module that I teach and some issues. I was preparing the slides, and then I mistakenly check it. And then all of a sudden, it was a rage within me, my heart. I'm like, why did it? And then somehow, not somehow, honestly, I just heard in my spirit, this email is a mistake. Continue preparing. I don't know, but I heeded to that voice that I heard. So I continued. Email came up. I was preparing. Nothing was changing. I'm tempted to check if this is really an error or mistake. Now, after 1 hour, 10 a.m., the person, I don't want to mention him, sent an email, said, oh, dear Kingsley, this is a mistake, actually. He said, sorry, this is a mistake. He was asking me to do two things. He said, this is a mistake of one of them, but the other you still have to do. I still have that voice within me saying, it's still a mistake. So I waited. I still continued. And said, ignore my first, second email. This is actually nothing to do with you. I said, God, you are faithful. All right, so if I had not paused to receive, I may have been caught up with the cares of this world. Yes, it is my responsibility to be faithful. Well, by that time, I ought to prepare for sermon as well. I'm supposed to be faithful over there. So I was like, Lord, and somehow he came through for me. I pray that Lord will continue to come true for you as well. So my point is this, we have to first continually receive and feed on him so that we will not be running on empty tanks. Don't run on empty tanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for that. Yes, amen. Don't run on empty tanks. Feed on him. Another lesson from the parable, from the story. We are called to be faithful over a few. Oh, Kingsley, don't say that. I know, because I'm having over 200 plus students, you know, all of that. And you said faithful over a few? Yes. God considered the 5, the 200, the 1, a few. 1,000 years is like a day, isn't it? We are called to be faithful over a few, over a little. God is the one who set us over many, over much more. He's the one that leads us into joy. And talking about joy, notice that the 7, their joy was not in how much they have gained. Their joy was not in the promotion that they will have. Their joy is in the master himself, talent giver. So I said here, the Lord himself, he is our ultimate joy and our true relish. David said, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It is in the Lord. In the Lord himself. It's not in, I have been faithful, therefore I deserve. Well, I'm not saying that if someone is trying to cheat you, you should not stand up. That's not the point. I'm saying that your satisfaction, Paul said that we do not claim anything as though coming from ourselves, for our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of him. Wrong beliefs. Why do you think the guy came and said with that attitude, Lord, I know you're a hard man, blah, blah, blah. Why? Wrong beliefs. Wrong believing about the Lord produces fear. Adam did it. They listened to the serpent instead of listening to the Lord. Wrong belief produces fear. It produces ungratefulness and eventually produces unfaithfulness. In fact, our stewardship is just as good as our lordship. How much do you know of the Lord? I'm not talking about how much Bible you read. Of course, we encourage us to read the Bible, but when you read one of his words, do you meditate on that? I'm not talking about the quantity, the quality. The Lord, it is the Lord who multiplies our actions of faith and stewardship. It is the Lord, keep that in mind. It is the Lord that multiplies our actions of faith and stewardship and the talent that he has given out to us. Talent used is talent multiplied. skills that you are using, he will multiply it. Time that you are using for his cause, for a brother, sister, he will multiply it. Now you ask me, but Dick Kingsley, this is a parable. Does it apply to us? Look, if you read the whole text, you notice that latter end of that Matthew 25, Jesus said, I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was without clothes, you give me clothes. You see that there's an application onto it. So I'm not taking it out of context. It is about using our skills, our positions, our expertise, our talent, whatever it is, to his glory. Hallelujah. Now, my final thoughts, or his final word for you. How do we grow in faithfulness? Two things, keep in mind. No, I've said so many things. Two things here. But one is, first, you have to dwell, you have to abide and feed on his word. Really? Just abide? Yes. Yes. The word of God looks simple, isn't it? That's why, you know, in the church in Galatia, they were trying to add more to it. But just dwell and abide and feed on him. Well, how? Look at that. Jesus himself said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Well, if Jesus said you cannot, you cannot. It's as simple as that. You have to abide. We see, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not something you go and work it out and now come, hey, Jesus, see all my fruit. No. It is a manifest expression of our relationship with him. The fruit to bear have to be on a branch, and the branch to be on the tree. So we have to abide. And here, I will just take one more thing here about Nahum. Nahum, I know the context is, it was written to the church in what? Nineveh. Nineveh was once a nation that has received the gospel, but they have changed their course, and so the prophet was writing to them. Now, but we can glean some truth from there, right? Look at what he says, the prophet said, where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion walk and the lioness and the lion's cub, and no one them afraid? You see, the dwelling place is also the feeding place, and it's also the place where you walk. Dwelling precedes feeding, and feeding precedes walking. When we say walk in the Spirit, when Bible says walk in the Spirit, it starts with you dwelling in him, feeding on him, then walking with him. Hallelujah. The second point, and I will end soon, I promise, is to behold and seek him. I told you, dwell and feed, behold and seek. Really? Yep. Behold and seek. Why? Look at what David said in the Psalm. He said, one thing I ask of the Lord. This only do I seek. What's that? That I may dwell, again, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze, to behold. Amazing, nice. There is an active participation in the gazing. He's seeking. Now, we use that word seek to mean those who do not know the Lord yet. But having known the Lord does not mean you should stop seeking. You should seek him daily about your work, about family, about issues that thoughts that are affecting you, seek him. And I love this one. Now the Lord is the Spirit. We said walk in the Spirit. Now you said, what is the Spirit? Here it is. The Lord is the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit means walk in the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, everybody say, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We want to be transformed into his image, right? Well, how do we do that? Beholding him as in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The more you behold, the more you are being transformed into his image. Finally, brothers, when we talk about faithfulness, talking about lordship and stewardship, before I come to this, let me just use this and look at what David is telling us here. Think about it for a while. I have seen the Lord continually before me. If you say something before you, it means it's like this. I can see Sam. I can see all those in front of me, before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. I have set him He's at my right hand. What picture is that? He's at my right. He's before me, Lordship. And at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. This, I think, is what David was telling us. Lordship and stewardship. Our lordship first, our recognition and dwelling in him, feeding on his righteousness, is what empowers us to engage in our horizontal relationships. Brothers, sisters, may the Lord help us. May the Lord encourage us. May the Lord strengthen us to first of all dwell and feed on him. May he enables us to behold him, to behold the cross, just as this, to behold the cross, confessing your righteousness in him, not of your own, and that you go about your daily activities of being faithful. Why we have to behold the cross? Well, because the fruit of the Spirit in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Who is truth? Jesus. Who is the righteous one? Jesus. Who is good? David said, my goodness is nothing apart from you, Jesus. Do you see that? And so the verse tells us that all the fruit of righteousness are, they come through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord cause us to abide in him, to feed on him, to behold him, and to seek him, even as we walk in faithfulness. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Lord, I want to pray for my sisters and my brothers here. I don't know who is hurting because they've been too kind, as the world told them. Or maybe they have loved and things happen and it's not going the way they want. And they are second guessing, Lord, if really this fruit of love really works. Maybe they've been faithful at work and something happened. It seems those who are not faithful seems to be promoted and it challenges. But Lord God, I pray your healing, Lord, your restoration remind against love, against peace, against gentleness, against faithfulness, against self-control. There is no law. There is no criticism. There is no condemnation on this, Lord, because it is your very nature. Lord, may you imprint yourself, your healing over their heart. And may you cause us to always behold you, even as we engage in our horizontal relationships and in our talents and in the use of them for your name, O God. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.